WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is playwright and director Luis Valdez. He's written and directed a new film about the life of Chicano rock and roll star Ritchie Valens. It's called La Bamba. Like Ritchie Valens, Valdez grew up in the migrant labor camps in California's San Fernando Valley. Valdez escaped from that life by writing and staging plays. He founded El Teatro Campesino to tour and perform plays in support of the United Farm Workers. Valdez is best known for his 1978 play, Zoot Suit, based on a real incident in 1942 when 22 Chicano gang members were wrongly accused of a murder. All of his work is aimed at dramatizing the Chicano experience within American culture. When I spoke with Luis Valdez, he told me how he fell in love with theater.
I was like 6 years old, and we were in this huge migrant labor camp in the West Valley in California called Corcoran. And we were picking cotton. Cotton season ended, and we couldn't leave the camp because the truck had broken down. My dad's truck had pickup. And this is 1946. We're talking the fall of 1946. Things were still scarce, believe it or not. Brown paper bags were scarce. So one of the things that I did was fold my little bag very carefully, so my lunch, and take it home. One day after school, I go get my bag, and it's missing, and in the cloakroom. And the teacher saw me looking. The bus was waiting. And she says, "You're looking for your bag?" And I said, "Yes." And she says, "I have it. Come with me." And she took me to this little back room, and my bag was all shredded, cut up into little pieces, and floating in this basin of water. And I said, "What did you do? What did you do to my bag?" And she says, "Look." And then right next to it was a clay mold. There was a monkey's face molded in clay. And next to that was another mask, another mold, but with papier-mâché on it. But what that mask was for a play. And so I tried out for a part and got the role. I was going to play a monkey, you know, in a Christmas play about Christmas in the jungle. I enjoyed it. The costume that they measured me for and eventually fitted me for was better than my own clothes. It was incredible. So I, with great joy, I saw the preparations. I mean, maybe it's more elaborate in my mind than it was back then, but it seemed like a Disneyland to me. So I was in the play, looking forward to it, and then the week that we were going to do it, my dad got the truck fixed and we moved away.
Oh.
So I was never in the Christmas play. So in order to make up for that gap, that unfillable gap, I started staging plays at that age with my friends. Found an old house, we put up trees, I direct them. By the time I was seven, I started, you know, as soon as I could really write legibly, I started putting together scripts. Theater was my obsession from then on until this day. You understand? It's been more than 40 years now.
So as a child, you had put on plays for your friends and family to come to?
Oh, yeah. My friends, eventually, in my grandfather's garage, I opened up a little puppet theater. And puppets were much easier to manage than my friends, you know. And I could make them out of papier-mâché and paint them. And stage shows. A cardboard box turned upside down became our stage. We had a little curtain. My older brother got involved, you know, sort of, he was my first producer, in a way. And he collected the nickels at the door.
But how old were you when you said to yourself, when I grow up, I'm not going to be a migrant worker?
Oh, that didn't take too long. You know, I mean, I was still a kid, actually, working in the fields. There were all kinds of possibilities coming out of that, but it was clear to me that the way out was through education or through the use of my imagination.
Had you been exposed to a lot of literature or any theater when you were growing up as a migrant worker?
Yeah, one of the things that I did do is read a lot as a kid. You know, that's really, before the days before television, you know, we barely had radio. I mean, I go back to the days of Straight Arrow and Bobby Benson and the B-Bar-B writers and The Shadow, you know, all those old radio programs. I followed them avidly. I loved stories and read many of the classics, you know. I mean, you know, Treasure Island, the whole shot, you know, and let my imagination just go with it. I always found out where the library was in any particular small town. And also the movie house, like everybody else, because movies were something else. The films of George Pal, Destination Moon, When Worlds Collide, The War of the Worlds, all of that just used to flip me out.
How did you get to college?
I won a scholarship. I also went to college as a physics and mathematics major. I loved that field of human knowledge. You know, my older brother is an engineer. He designs computers in the Silicon Valley, and we were both going to go into science. At some point, though, I decided to go into writing.
So, when you got out of college and you had studied literature and writing, why did you want to go back to where the migrant farm workers were, where you set up the El Teatro Campesino, working with Cesar Chavez and the migrant farm workers, the United Farm Workers Union?
Well, I think conditions were so bad, all right, that even as a child, it became obvious to me that something had to change. It was miserable. I even remember thinking as a child, what am I doing out here? I'm a kid, you know. But there were long hours, and the pay was very poor, and the living conditions were miserable. I mean, there's a lot of stories I could tell you, you know, that involved that whole life. Suffice it to say that I became aware that something was wrong and that justice was not being done. By that time, okay, I got to college, through high school into college, I had a political consciousness, which fit exactly, you know, with the beginning of the 1960s. I joined what was essentially the civil rights movement in 1959. As a matter of fact, you know, the death of Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly in February of 1959 marks, I've just been thinking about this lately, marks a real turning point in my development, because it's as if my youth was over. You know what I mean? I was no longer a teenager. It was now time to think of other things. It was the most natural thing for me to do in 1965 is to go back to Delano, California, where I'd been born, and to work with Cesar Chavez and the union in an attempt to try to form some protection, an organization that would protect the farm workers.
You were performing sketches and plays for migrant farm workers, but you had a reputation that spread. I mean, you got Off-Broadway awards and other theater awards. Your reputation spread around the West Coast and to the East Coast. How did people find out about you?
I think that it was because of the March to Sacramento in 1966, which was a phenomenal event. It's still, for me, the greatest case of theater that I've ever been involved in, theater in the world, you know, theater in reality. We marched up 300 miles up the spine of California, Highway 99, bearing our red flags with a Thunderbird eagle on it, passing semi-trucks and, you know, thousands of cars every day. And in the evenings, we'd settle in some little farm worker community, put up a flatbed truck, put up our banners, our backdrop, and speeches would be given, and the teatro would perform every night, 25 nights in a row. The press came from all over the country. They took our pictures. They took everybody's pictures. We were filmed for the first time. And people became aware of us. We were mentioned in Newsweek. And out of that came an invitation, eventually, from other colleges and universities to go perform. And that led to one morning when Pete Seeger called me and invited us to attend the Newport Folk Festival in 1967, exactly 20 years ago, which we did. Out of that came another performance at the Senate Subcommittee on Agricultural Labor. We performed in New York, and out of that came the Obie.
Now that you're doing work for movies and for the theater, do you feel like you're still able to maintain the kind of political and social involvement that you started with?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's a certain amount of natural evolution that takes place. I mean, I lived my 20s, and I was a typical a person in their 20s. I was radical, I was furious, I was angry, I was the angry young man, and enjoyed it, you know. I got my political rocks off, you know, in that sense. I feel that all of us that were active in the 1960s have a responsibility not to let America settle on an image of the 60s as if it was a period of flakes and kooks and weirdos. It was not. It was a period where the most basic chords in the American conscience were touched. And we cannot forget that. And yes, there's stuff that will fall away because it was silly. Every generation does have it. The drug thing certainly has gone awry, you know. The sexual revolution has become something else. But the social values, okay, who we're standing for, that was important.
Luis Valdez, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Luis Valdez's new film, La Bamba, opens nationally on July 24th.